Hey, grandkids, welcome to OPA 23. We are chugging along here, Ken.
23? Yeah, that's that's nothing to sneeze at,
I would say. We're almost at a quarter of 100.
That's true.
Almost. We should be there before the end of the year.
Yeah, at this breakneck pace we're at here, we've almost averaged a show a week here, I'd say.
Yeah, for 23 weeks. It might be a little bit under that.
Yeah.
But, is not too shabby, I suppose. But, one thing that, caught your fancy, I guess, this week.
Yeah.
And I kind of read about it a little bit on Twitter, but I didn't really check it out until I saw your video. This video made by Adult Swim that runs about 11 or 12 minutes, and it's called Too Many Cooks.
Yes.
And it just replays one song pretty much the entirety of this whole video. And we watched it right before starting the show, and it's still stuck in my head, even after watching a couple of episodes of something else.
Yeah.
It is just super catchy. It's like, the best way to describe it is it's a continuous loop of introductions to different TV shows.
Well, it's really, I don't know. The guy said he was a fan of David Lynch, which I could understand because the creator of this, I his name is Casper. That's the only thing I remember. But
there's
more to it. But
I did not look too deep into it, other than just viewing the video.
Yeah, because it was like very like dreamlike in a way. It was like one thing shifts over to a different thing, but it's still kind of like, you know, it's still a credit sequence, but it's like a somewhat different show. It sort of fades into over time, you know.
Right.
It becomes like a cop show. It starts out like a Family Matters or Full House sort of situation, situational comedy to be specific. And then it moves.
Is that what those are called?
I believe so. Situational comedy. They used to have a lot of shows like that back then, back in the days of the 1980s and early 90s. And it morphs into like a cop show.
It morphed into an Alf-like show, which brought us a character called Smarf.
With magic powers, yes.
With magic powers. He was kind of more into shooting rainbows, I believe.
And I love that they just threw in, like, the mix of the characters that they use is just really great. And I also had read in the article that it was a bunch of, like, local, like Atlanta area, I guess, extras that they, you know, said they wanted a certain type of so-and-so, you know, person for, you know, didn't know exactly what they were signing up for, I guess, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, they did have a wide variety of ethnicities in there.
Yes.
That was certainly another thing that is noticeable in the whole thing.
Yeah, and how they just had like a different, you know, and it was like, you know, a nerdy kid or like, a bully, you know, they had like...
Oh, they did have a bunch of stereotypes that they went to, because they had one guy being like this one kid, kind of like a Fonzie type of character,
yes.
Except he was wearing a black leather vest. And he just had one of the more ridiculous names, and as you mentioned, they were real actors, so I mean...
They were using their real names. That's the other thing that surprised me, because that kid's name was, like, Gwendian, and it was, like, his other... He had his...
Yeah, and he had a hyphenated last name.
Yeah. And Gwendian was, you know, par for the course for his name, and they were, you know, he had a full name there. But it was... Very funny. And then it turned into some, like, weird psycho killer thing.
which ended up, and that was kind of the interesting thing. I guess that's where it almost stopped being the intro credits, because they brought back characters that they had introduced earlier and murdered them.
Yes.
A lot. I was happy that they brought back a woman's name was Victoria Sun, I believe, and she was running around topless the whole show.
Yes.
Well, not the whole show. She only made a couple of appearances, but it's really worth just watching for that.
Yeah, it's
it was kind of funny how she ends up getting killed later in it. Smarf ends up meeting his maker, which is pretty funny.
And it turns out that he has like a Terminator like robo body underneath his
underneath his cat skin.
Yeah, it's like a Muppet looking exterior. But yeah, I love that, you know. They just had like this weird mix of characters that really seemed to work for me. And like, maybe because it was like kind of different things that you would see on like an 80s show, like different, like you said, even with the elf to throw in like one like completely oddball thing too. Like,
yeah. Well, and you could argue that almost all of the things were kind of like 80s related. Because the Black family, you could almost try and sell as a Cosby family kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, you kind of mentioned Family Ties or any type of show like that. They had those kind of characters. And then they kind of morphed out when they showed this big grid of all the characters where it felt like a Brady Bunch.
Like a Brady Bunch, except like they were... They had all of the characters they had introduced, and so it was like each little grid was so small that you couldn't even see the person's face anymore.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a lot of takeoffs that they, the cop one, you could have gone, because there was the guy and the girl, you could have gone with the TJ Hooker.
Yeah, for sure.
I
got that vibe there.
So, yeah, like, all of them were inspired, to me, by some type of 80s / 90s show.
But the really weird parts started when they introduced this, like, really creepy-looking serial killer guy. He just kept, like, popping up in every, credits. Like, he sort of was behind people at the beginning, and then just sort of, like, became more and more like to the front, I guess, in terms of like, you know, starting to kill people actually with a knife.
Yes, quite violently at times.
Right. And so then it's like a weird kind of like, it feels like a weird dream when like some, you know, villainous character just kind of creeps into it like slowly. And then suddenly it's like everywhere you turn. Yeah,
that certainly was the topper, and which would lead me to realize that there maybe was more to it than I had initially thought, than just the opening sequence. You know, and I haven't seen too much David Lynch stuff, but I always just remember that the stuff I have seen is really bizarre, because isn't what's the one that we watched when we were up at the cabin there with the everyone was shooting up the angel dust?
Oh yeah, that was based on a novel.
Yeah, it was based on a novel.
Naked Lunch.
Yeah, Naked Lunch. Because wasn't that a David Lynch?
You know what? I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that that was.
He did Eraserhead. I don't know if you've seen that one. It's pretty weird.
Twin Peaks.
Yeah, Twin Peaks we discussed recently.
Yeah, that was certainly on there. So he definitely has a weird sensibility, so I can understand why this this guy would invoke him, for because the mayhem at the end is what throws everything into disarray to just being a complete riff on all the 80s things.
Well, I just wanted to point out, we didn't get to it yet, but the sci-fi show that pops up towards the end, you know, the credits turn into like a I don't know, Buck Rogers-y kind of looking, you know, sci-fi show from that period. And then it it's like COOKS stands for like combat operations, like, I don't know, something that they're fighting against their evil nemesis called the Broth, B-R-O-T-H. Because the lyrics of the song are like, too many cooks will spoil the broth. But then it like turns out that they can't. Then the lyrics like change slightly over time. And then like in the sci-fi version, it's like, well, we can't have too many cooks because we want to spoil, like we're fighting the broth. So it's like they wanted the cooks to kind of spoil the broth in a way. So like they changed the lyrics. Which I just thought was... magnifique.
Oh man.
But yeah, and then the psycho killer is the enemy, Broth, it seems like, in that that show, because the spaceship has his head and shoots lasers out of his mouth, of course.
I guess I just kind of forgot about that part of it. That was one part that we did not rewatch ahead of time, which
we had to call our rewatching short there. But we didn't quite get to that part. But and then there's the part where the guy was eating human body parts. It got really dark there.
That's the funny thing.
Things got out of hand really quickly at some point.
Eating human body parts, like after watching that on The Walking Dead, I was just like, oh, okay, he's eating human body parts.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I was thinking too, is like, we would not have seen this kind of show, or nothing like this would have been on television when we were younger.
No, not even on Access TV.
Not even like on HBO, like that's like way too weird for anything. Like I'm trying to think, even like Monty Python or something. Like,
I don't even think Monty Python is that weird.
Yeah,
I mean,
it might come close, but yeah, I don't think they ever. They got pretty dark too sometimes. but. Yeah, I guess not quite that dark.
No, I wouldn't say they ever quite got this dark. I mean, when you make fun of the bubonic plague...
Yeah, I mean, that's fairly dark. A lot of people died.
Yeah, but they made light of it quite well. They made it quite the comedic situation.
Right, and I guess it's not like it's, too soon? Bubonic plague?
Like... Yeah, that was definitely not too soon. They did that well after it was too soon.
They waited a respectful amount of time, and I gotta give them credit for that, you know?
they waited hundreds of years just to pull that one out.
Yeah. That's tip of the hat to them.
Are there any other little factoids that I may have been overlooking in an avoidance to get through this portion of the show? Since I didn't read about the the guy that made this.
No, I did hear that they're going to be trying to do work, you know, they're going to try to work on something similar and potentially more of a budget, so I don't know, that could be a problem, because I guess they did this on not a lot of budget, really. It was more complicated than some of the other stuff that they had filmed for the late night Adult Swim, so it panned out for him, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's certainly something that I have at times enjoyed watching a lot, Adult Swim, and I just haven't watched it as much. Like, sometimes it almost gets a little too weird now.
Like, it's like gets into like the anti-comedy stuff where it's like, it's not really funny, but that's supposed to be funny in some way.
There are a couple of shows I'm just like, the whole Tim and Eric thing.
Oh yeah, he's big on that. That's Tim Heidecker, I guess.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, if that's supposed to be not funny, but funny because it's not funny, I guess I understand it then. But then it just turns into like, I just took some acid and recorded some stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that guy doesn't do drugs either, which is like baffling. in some ways, you know?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say that you'd need to be taking them, but if you had taken them at some point...
If you happen to have?
Yeah, if you happen to have taken them at some point, you know, I could see you coming up with these ideas, at least. But to not experience that is a little bit surprising.
Yeah, I agree.
Because those shows, I did try on them a couple of times in a couple of different formats, and it just, I couldn't get through them.
Because they did a couple of movies too, I believe, right?
Excuse me.
I don't know their titles at the moment, but...
I believe so.
The comedy, I think, was one of them. Tim and Eric's Million Dollar Movie. I want to say.
Oh, Tim and Eric's $1 billion movie.
$1 billion movie?
he does have quite a mustache there, Tim Heidecker. God bless him. Bedtime Stories. Check It
Out. I do like that, though.
Yeah, that was one. It's Check It Out with Steve, Dr. Steve Brule. And it's John C. Reilly plays
right
the Dr. Steve. And it is so, he's just really awkward. It's awesome.
Well, I mean, it's like John C. Reilly, though. I mean, it's like.
Yeah, that helps out a lot.
He can pull off a lot. And he really takes advantage of it there with, I mean, that's a funny one to check out if you guys are out there looking for something to watch. Check It Out with Dr. Steve Brule. I think they used to have some stuff on YouTube that you can watch for free, but I think they put a stop to that.
Dear Lord, yeah, Tom Goes to the Mayor. I remember that because that was certainly in the heyday of when I was watching Adult Swim.
I don't even know if I have ever seen that one.
Oh, yeah. I tried to do that, and I couldn't do it, and then I saw that they were coming back with the Night Live, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll give it a try. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? I just, I'm really not sure. And then there was another one where I think they sold me on whoever was, I think it was the Awesome Show Great Job was when they started using John C. Reilly. Okay. In that Dr. Steve capacity. I might be wrong about the exact show, but they pulled me in by having him on the show once. Yeah. So I tried it again, and I'm just like, that part was funny, but everything else I just didn't get.
Yeah, I mean, John C. Reilly, he's a national treasure. somebody was just talking about, it was this new podcast I was listening to, which we hadn't discussed earlier, but it's called The Worst Idea in the World. And apparently, you know how they, you know, there's these movies, podcasts where they kind of like rip on movies.
Right.
Well, they do that here, except every week they watch the same movie, Grown Ups 2, and they review it every week. So I just started listening to the first episode. So I'm not sure how long they're going to... I mean, there's like 30-some episodes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They've made it that far?
Yes.
They've made it more episodes than we have.
Well, I mean, they probably started earlier, but yes. Can you imagine if we had to watch the same movie every week?
Oh my gosh. I would go... that is worth listening to. Like, even if just to go with the first one and then skip ahead to, like, number 5.
Just to see if you can notice a,
notice the difference. Yeah, notice the degeneration between number 1 and number 5.
Yeah, these guys have some pretty thick Australian accents, so it's interesting. they throw in some extra syllables on words that they probably don't need to, but, you know, that's just for my... stupid American way of thinking, I guess. But yeah, it's a clever idea for a podcast, if nothing else, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it'll at least get you noticed to start things off. Oh,
we got off on a little tangent.
Yeah,
you know what else might get you noticed though, Kevin? If you had a title such as digital profit.
Yes, especially when the three letters after that are AOL.
Oh, yeah, that is kind of a little more of a zinger, I guess.
Yeah, there's entertainment, because they even admit, or maybe not admit, since the New Yorker did this article on a gentleman named...
We should explain who we're talking about here.
He goes by the name Shingy, but his original name is David Shing. Yes. Oh, yeah, and you're right. He was originally from Australia, though he certainly looks...
appears to be of the Asian descent.
Yes. They mentioned in the article that they were... It was like 25 million subscribers to fewer than 2.5 million now.
Oh, AOL?
Yeah. AOL.
Of course, we all remember. Well, maybe not everybody. The young kids don't remember. They had all. Remember, they would always send out those damn
CDs
with like 100 free hours, or it started out like 12 free hours, and then they got it like up to. I swear they had 100 free hours on there.
Yeah, I think it got there around 100.
But yeah, they made a lot. They waste a lot of oil making those CDs.
They made a poop ton. Like, I remember keeping stacks of them around.
Yeah,
just because I was like, oh, just in case I run out of time. Because like, that's how often they gave them out. Like,
you might buy a magazine and there'd be one on the, you know, taped to the cover or something.
But, yeah.
Like, literally, they were everywhere. So, yeah. They had a lot of subscribers at one point, then crashed.
Yeah, so it
they had more. Well, let's quote from the article, and this is a very quotable article, I gotta say. In 2002, AOL had more than 25 million subscribers. It now has fewer than 2.5 million. Shingy calls it a company in transition.
Yeah,
because they really, I mean, without coming right out, this article really paints a pretty goofy picture of this guy, and kind of holds him up for ridicule, it seems like to me. Just some of the stuff in here. First of all, his title is Digital Profit for AOL. So,
well, to me, in some ways, what the guy is interested in seems like it would benefit AOL from kind of getting into those territories in some ways, but they're almost not listening to him.
Well, and the other part, I guess, is that he's getting paid a six-figure salary, so I don't know exactly what that means, but is it on the low end or high end?
Yes.
Probably makes a difference.
Six figures is pretty vague.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that I'd be crying you to sleep if you're only making $100,000, but you know, that wouldn't be completely ridiculous either.
Living in New York, I mean, it would be, you know, that would go pretty quickly, I'd imagine.
Right. So,
okay, here we go. The writer. Followed Shingy around a little bit this day and to write this profile here. Next, Shingy stopped by the office of Erica Nardini, the chief marketing officer of AOL Advertising, and handed her an iPad mini. "Wanted to show you a little brain fart I had on the plane," he said. It was a cartoon he had drawn of a bear wearing zebra print pants and a shirt covered in ones and zeros.
Which, don't they have that later?
Love it, Nardini said. "I'm thinking of the bears more as a metaphor." 1,000%, Shingy said. "I'm thinking of the bears as a metaphor." Okay. Like, that's just so, like...
Oh, I thought they showed the bears.
I don't think they did. That would have been awesome if they would have had that picture, but,
yeah, sorry, that's why I was trying to scroll ahead there. I thought they had it further down.
But like, if you have this you know, what was he trying to communicate there with that? Maybe we're not smart enough to understand.
Well, and it's one of those things that I don't know. Like, maybe they had been working on something. Like, they don't really flesh out what was happening at all. Like, nobody does.
Right. And it's,
like, they capture the moment. It's almost like a written day, but you don't have context to the day.
No.
Because, you know, I'm sure that that wasn't the only part of that entire conversation. So
yeah, it's hard to say, because then he's they go on to say that he's kind of like looking at his phone during this part of the conversation too, so he may have been a little distracted. I also love that he rebooted this guy's office.
That absolutely killed me. Like, I guess just because I've heard so many weird artist stories that it didn't faze me at all. I guess I didn't think about the ridicule angle. I just thought that he was a weird dude who, you know.
Well, I know that people, he seems to be like one of those guys that people love to hate and kind of make fun of. So maybe reading into this a little bit.
Well, and that's... See, now you never give me the links to the extra read-ins. And I'm just sitting here, my ass hanging out. All
right.
Because, right. I mean, it's not like this guy doesn't have access. Like, I went to his website, and he... I mean, they got him in for an exclusive interview with Kevin Spacey about House of Cards. And the guy seemed to do a somewhat, he just he was prompted to ask Kevin Spacey decent questions. But the interview went fairly well in my estimation.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
So, yes, there's some type of pool in there. It's maybe not understandable or overblown in some people's estimation.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the picture that they're painting is like, this guy is a sort of, I don't know, all kind of, what is that? All steak, all sizzle, no steak? Is that what you would call that?
You could say that.
Yeah, there we go. That took way too long to come out, but, so like, you know, the idea that he just, you know, is able to kind of put one over on everybody. So, like, this example that with the bear in the zebra print pants, like, she's thinking of it as a metaphor. So, like, whatever he did, she's, like, coming up with whatever her own inspiration from this thing.
Right.
But really, he didn't necessarily do or have a plan to what he was doing. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah. So, it's like... Is he just like a mascot or something? It almost seems like.
He certainly seemed like a bit of a mascot too, because they said that there's something polarizing about him and something unifying about him. I mean, if you're
the guy...
It's just
like the Washington Redskins.
If you're the guy that has your desk or your office completely feng shui'd by this crazy Asian gentleman from Australia.
Right.
And you're okay with it? I mean...
What did he do? Like, take out... He
took all of the furniture out of the room.
Right.
And then rearranged it so that everyone had to sit in a circle if they're going to have a group meeting so that everyone could see each other, I think.
Yeah, and then, wait, where was that part here? after that, he was talking to,
they really like this scent.
Do you like the scent, Shingy said? A diffuser released a fragrance called London, designed by Tom Dixon into the air. Shingy's office features another of Dixon's scents, Orientalist, but Armstrong's, he pointed out, was newer. It's funny, Armstrong said. I thought it was the cleaning materials. The cleaning lady was in here last night, and I'm like, I love the smell of this table. She was like, okay. I still need to put some sound in here, Shingy said.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing.
Armstrong looked around. I have meetings here, and people don't know where to sit, he said. They'll figure it out, man, Shingy said. So, like, you've got people coming in for business meetings, and, you know, nobody knows where to sit. And, yeah, that's not a problem for Shingy. Other people can figure it out, I guess.
I didn't think it would be that hard to figure out myself.
You wouldn't think so, but it sounds like it's maybe a little awkward for people in some way.
Well, anything not conforming, man.
That's right. I sounded like the man there. I was like, yeah. I was an agent of the man there for
you
a second.
You are an agent of the man. You just want to conform. You don't want to be like Shingy.
Yeah, you know, he used to be chilling at the Holiday Inn, but, oh, wait, no, that was Chingy, I believe, the artist who made that song.
Oh.
Yeah. I said it.
But, I mean, that's the other interesting thing, though, is that his co-workers did kind of, maybe they just picked specific co-workers, but they kind of went with the flow of his goofiness.
Right.
So, I mean, there are some people, at least, that like him and enjoy what he kind of brings to the table, it seems.
Yeah.
And I was kind of interested because he had, where was that? His former job cracked me up because it sounded like it was somewhat important.
His former job?
Yeah. Because he was like, he had a corporate job with AOL back somewhere over in Europe before he came over here.
Okay.
And that's it. I'm trying to scan the article and figure it out, but I can't figure it out here right now.
Yeah, I mean, this, to me, it was an interesting article just to kind of read about this guy, because it seems like, I mean, maybe, like, I could see it both ways. Like, maybe he has these people fold, or maybe he is in some way actually contributing to their vision, I guess.
Right, because I have no idea. And, I mean, I guess that's the other one where I'm kind of lacking context. I don't know what AOL's trying to do right now. Like,
and that could be part of the problem.
And maybe that's why it's more of a mocking thing. It's just like, why are they employing this guy when they only have 2.5 million people?
Yeah. I just found an article. The headline is, Shingy just spent 20 minutes yelling insane gibberish on a stage. So, from earlier April. So, well, I don't know. It does seem like a...
He is a character.
A character, yes.
I will definitely go with that. We've been talking about a lot of characters.
Character welcome, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and there was another character that you sent me. It was what's the chairman's name here?
Mao?
No, it's not Chairman Mao.
Sorry, that was a little bit racist there.
That would have been outstanding, but it was almost
Ma?
Jack Ma,
close
chairman of Alibaba, which helped to invent a holiday back in 2009 called Singles Day.
Right. So, like, these Chinese companies are learning from American, like Hallmark. Allegedly inventing Sweetest Day, or whatever you want to say. Like, now these the Chinese are figuring this stuff out and inventing their own holidays, which are starting a little bit to catch on in the U.S., maybe?
Yeah, I did see talk of Singles Day on the Twitter.
The Twitter?
Yeah, so I was just like, what the... I didn't bother to look into it. Because I don't really care. Like, I never had a beef with Valentine's Day when I wasn't dating someone.
Yeah, I guess I just was like, whatever.
Yeah, it was just another day. Like, I didn't sit there and mope or anything. Like, it was like, whatever. It's all good.
Yeah, but apparently in China, this is like the rough equivalent of Cyber Monday. Which, you know, I just, out of curiosity, went and checked it out because they have an American website as well. And there were some pretty good deals on there, I gotta say.
I did not check them out, but since 2009, they last year they had done. Oh, okay, that was the screen cap that you sent. I was wondering what that was since it didn't show it in the article at all.
Yeah, I just, okay. took a capture there of the. I guess I could have explained that better. God, I'm letting you down again, man.
Yeah, you're just not pulling your weight.
But yeah, they had like a lot of stuff half off and things like that, so, or more, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, on this singles day here, they did $5.8 billion worth of sales last year.
Yes.
And they were expecting to do 8 this year. Expecting.
Now that's 8 billion with a B.
Yeah.
In one day.
Yeah. In one day. But they bested that by $1.3 billion. And that was not counting overseas.
That was just China, right?
Yeah, that was just China.
$9 billion. $9.3 billion in one day. That's a lot.
Yeah, and...
Now, this gives you kind the of other, an idea of the scale of this company is, like, huge.
Yeah, and then that was the other interesting thing is that this guy evidently is a little outspoken, and what was it that he said? Their stock fell because today, when people have high expectations on you, I start to worry. We are not that good yet. We are a company only 15 years old. It's a young company, young industry, and it's not easy. So, like, even though they did $9.3 billion of business, a bunch of people were jumping ship because their stock fell 3.87%.
That's a pretty hefty drop, I would say, in terms of the stock. I mean, it's not, you know, like... a calamity maybe, but that's like pretty noticeable there.
Right. Which was kind of interesting that you would take that kind of a hit. But I think the guy's just being practical that things have changed rapidly here recently, and he's not sure how easy it's going to be to keep up with whatever the next thing is.
Yeah, I mean...
He might be a little too honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a strange one, because they did recently just... I mean, maybe he's not used to, like, the stock market and everything, because they did get pretty recently added to, like, be able to get traded in the United States. But I don't know, because, yeah, that does seem strange that you would kind of... Usually you put on a brave face, you know, to the outside world no matter what, you know?
Oh,
right. You want to not, you know, you want to make people, if you know, fake it till you make it, I guess, you know, is the kind of mentality. But maybe it's a little different over there. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and I thought it was kind of interesting, too, that the article mentioned Alipay, which seems like it's going to be similar to an Apple Pay kind of system that they have going on.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, these guys are pretty huge, evidently, too. Sometimes it doesn't matter if you've heard of companies or not. Some of them are just monstrous. These guys are.
Yeah, I mean, I had heard of this company before, so it was just like, I guess I didn't realize that they were going to be doing this much business here. And I was just kind of also interested in this Singles Day holiday idea. That seems to be catching on somewhat, but it's an interesting story.
Yeah, well, and that was certainly something that I did not look into, like the origins of Singles Day.
No, I didn't either.
So, you know, I guess I don't have to worry about that, so...
I mean, unless you're looking for cheap gifts for Christmas, maybe.
Yeah, well, it would work out. It would be a sale before Thankmas, which would be nice.
Oh, Christmas creep. Striking again.
Now yeah, Christmas creep always strikes in the DeFrango household.
And now...
It's Thankmas, not...
Oh, that's true, yeah, because you guys...
do half of Christmas with my older brother's family here at Thanksgiving. And then the rest of the family still does it on Christmas.
That makes sense.
So,
But, yeah, we couldn't... yeah, that would make sense for you guys then.
Right.
I guess I was thinking of, like, you know, people are always complaining about the Christmas song starting earlier or the decorations coming out too early.
Yeah, I mean, it was before... We went into Michael's before Halloween had even happened, and they already had all their Christmas stuff up.
Yeah, before Halloween. What is the world coming to? Now it's the Chinese doing it to us, Kevin. They're making us buy Christmas presents early.
Yep.
God damn it.
But speaking of families.
What's that you say?
Speaking of families.
You know who has a family?
No, I do not know who has a family.
Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man has a family?
Well, sort of. I mean, I guess he has an aunt and uncle. Or wait, his uncle died. I guess he has an aunt. You know?
Yes.
When you get down to it.
When you're down to brass tacks.
He just has an aunt.
Just has an aunt.
I guess that could be a family. It's a little bit non-traditional, but...
Right.
Sure.
Single grandmother? Or a single aunt mother? Yeah.
Come on. Get it together. Aunt mother.
I always just thought of her age as more of a grandmother, even though they always called her aunt.
That is true. She has kind of a grandmotherly look.
Right.
But, you know, who better to head up a new action movie?
Yes. Now, we did not run this through our We Watch Stuff sources.
No, that's true.
But we did see in the Latino review that there is a possibility... that Sony is considering an Aunt May picture as like a spy espionage.
Right, sort of like a, whatever, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sort of a situation, maybe.
It would certainly seem something in that vein.
Like a comic hero adjacent kind of a story.
Yeah, yeah. It's the spies who help the superheroes.
Right.
Yeah, because I was interested, like, I'll read stuff, but I'm just not that big into Spider-Man. I never really was.
Yeah, he's okay, but yeah. It's like, not, he's not Superman or Batman.
Yeah, he kind of, well, I don't know, like, I never even liked Superman all that much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, because Superman just had too little to be concerned about.
He was basically indestructible.
Yeah, he was basically indestructible. Like, there's one little thing that is a problem for him, and that's just kind of... That was always a little weak sauce for me, even as a kid.
Right.
And it just seemed too convenient that much of it was around when it was from another planet that no longer existed.
Yeah,
it seemed to be floating around an awful lot for not existing anymore.
Yeah, they really kind of painted themselves in a corner there with Superman. But, and I guess Sony, in a way here, has painted themselves into a corner with their recent Spider-Man movies not really blowing people away at the box office. But they have to, I believe, they have to continue making movies.
Or else they lose the contract to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, I had kind of forgotten about this situation because I remember people writing about it to start with. And yeah, because I was sitting there wondering why they had rebooted the whole thing, and it was just like, oh.
They kind of have to.
Yeah, that's right. They kind of had to. And, you know, we were joking about the too soon earlier with, but this was definitely too soon to do a reboot.
Agreed.
You know, they like, did not wait
nearly
I can't
as
remember.
Long as Monty Python did, you know?
Well, and I'm even trying to think what the difference in Batman's were.
Oh, like the...
yeah, because it was 89 and 2005. So it was 16 years.
Oh, well, I mean, 89 was the first Batman, though, right?
Correct. And Batman Begins was 05.
But when was...
but that was all a continuation. Like, well, everything up through even George Clooney, as disastrous as that thing was...
Which one was that? Batman Forever? Wait, what were they called?
Yeah, that was... oh, no. Forever was the Val Kilmer one. I'm going to all results here.
The one with Arnold.
Oh, Batman and Robin was Clooney and what's his name? He's on NCIS Los Angeles now.
Oh yeah.
It's Chris. What's his name?
It is Chris something, right?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell.
There we go.
Yeah.
Him and Uma Thurman was in that one.
Yeah, she was Poison Ivy.
She was really a weird character.
And, yeah, not one of Uma's better parts.
Arnold was there to give a bunch of really bad puns. I used to see you. Remember that one? Chill, Kevin. Chill.
Yeah. Yeah, so even if you consider the reboot from then, it's 97 to 2005.
Yeah.
Which is still 8 years in between those movies.
You know, that's respectable.
And people wanted to forget about that movie.
Right. People were like, okay, please, yeah. We need a chaser here, something to get us to forget about this. Get this taste out of our mouths.
Because I didn't mind the Val Kilmer Forever.
No, I didn't either. I always kind of liked Val Kilmer.
So, yeah. But, yeah, see, they waited a respect, at least somewhat respectable amount of time.
You know what one I want to go back and see is Batman, what did they call that? The second one with Michael Keaton and with Danny DeVito. Batman Returns, maybe?
Oh, yeah, because 89, 92, yeah.
I think I want to see that one again, because I remember that one actually being pretty decent, and I it's been a while.
That might have been one that maybe I didn't like. I didn't like it at the time, but I'd be interested to rewatch it, and I think I might like it more now than I did when I was younger.
I think I liked Michael Keaton as Batman. He's having a little bit of a resurgence. I saw he was in another movie here recently. That just came out.
Yeah, he's had a couple of roles. He's kind of been popped around, and I always end up seeing him because he's a Pittsburgh guy, and he really loves the Pirates. Like he was coaching his son's Little League team.
That's fun. I bet the other kids probably like that too.
Yeah. Oh, Spotlight. He's filming now.
Birdman. That was it. Yeah. So, yeah. What were we talking about? Hold on here.
Yeah, we had gone with Aunt May, and we completely devolved into the whole Batman talk because we were talking about the differences in the franchises. Sense.
Yeah. But okay, so they're saying like, okay, people are tired of Spider-Man. But we have to make a Spider-Man movie. So what do we do? Like, how does that count as a Spider-Man movie? That's a good question. How does it count as a Spider-Man movie if it's not about Spider-Man? If it's about Spider-Man's aunt? Does that count?
They are saying it counts.
I wonder how the lawyers figure that out, though. It's like, do they have to, like, sit there with a stopwatch and, like, time how long Spider-Man, or like, just as long as someone says the name Spider-Man, they like check a box and it's like, okay, we're good here.
I mean, Aunt May is definitely, you're not gonna go, oh, she's part of Batman too or something like that. She didn't cross over comics. So I would think that that's exclusive rights of Spider-Man territory.
But okay, but the Aunt May character is an old woman. Like, they're talking in this movie
of younging her up.
They're gonna go back in time, you know.
And they might even have, well, and that was the other interesting thing to me about the article. I had no idea that they tried to do a back history for his parents at some point.
A movie? Oh, well.
It was, I think it's just a comic.
Well, I just wanted to mention also that it is kind of cool that they're doing, like, I don't know how I feel about it, I guess. Because it's like, there's been this thing about not having any, you know, female superheroes with their own movies. So, like, in some ways it's good that they would try to do that, at least somewhat. But then at the same time, it just seems like this is like a basically a kind of a what am I trying to say here?
Spit like, it out, Phillips.
A cynical sort of you know, deal, just so they can do this to keep the rights without like kind of making people more sick of Spider-Man.
Well, and I don't even know what you do. That's the other thing, is that they have the rights for a while. Like, I think they'd have to still do two other movies. And it's just like, well, where do you go still? Even if you use this as a vehicle to keep the contract, you've still got to come out with another Spider-Man movie at some point. You know? This is like punting to a later date. Like, this is just like, oh, I have a problem. I'm going to punt it until like 4 years down the line so that we can figure out what to do then.
Right, right. But yeah, because what if they did like, what if they had a character called Spider-Man but really didn't resemble the Marvel character of Spider-Man? Would that count?
Well,
what if there's a guy who just likes spiders and he kind of collected them all? And he just sort of, you know, lived in a house with a bunch of spiders and he was Spider-Man. Would that count as a Spider-Man movie for their purposes?
I don't know. It could be like Jeff Daniels redoes his Arachnophobia. But it's a new twist. He becomes Spider-Man. Like, he like breeds them. It's like he becomes...
So he's like, the spiders are working for him now.
Yeah. Okay. He goes into Mordor and grabs Shelob.
So this is, just so we're clear, the title is going to be Arachnophobia 2, Spider-Man, : She-Love's Desolation of She-Love.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that would be a nice short title.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it has the benefit of keeping several different properties
copyright. Tied into one. Yeah. I mean... That would work great on everyone's search engines.
If they needed to keep making Lord of the Rings movies in order to, you know, keep the rights, this is going to help them out as well.
Yeah, Peter Jackson's not allowed to do anything but Lord of the Rings movies from now on. He needs to keep the rights, so he's got to keep on doing Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah, it's going to be, let's see, who can they really deep dive into here? Well, I think an obvious choice would be certain the shipwright. They need to make a whole movie about him. The guy who hangs out in the Havens and never leaves the whole time, just making boats. I think we need to really figure out what's going on with his, you know, there's something going on with that guy.
He could be the key to Noah's Ark.
There you go.
Yeah. See,
this is how we could find a lot of interesting things out.
Yes, so we could.
You know, movie studios, if you like what you're hearing, give us a ring.
Yep,
we can, we'll put this down on paper for you.
At Stunt Granny, at DeFrango11, at Gozer33, can reach us any of these ways. just drop the contract in our lap, and we'll go ahead and sign it since we came up with the idea.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take the majority of the profits, but, you know, that's only fair.
Yeah, we'll give you your fair share. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it'll be very fair. Very fair. But speaking of that, I don't know. So we'll see. Do you really believe that they're going to make an Aunt May movie?
I don't know, because that was the other thing that... It kind of started off the article about how many crazy rumors they've heard. So it's like that they weren't even putting any stock in what they were saying themselves. Like, at least to me, that was a little bit of the vibe that I got, because it was pretty early on. They're like, there have been a lot of crazy movies about what they're trying to do, or crazy ideas. Because I'm trying to think, because they mentioned using Venom.
Oh, right, because they had tried to make like a Sinister Six movie in Venom.
Yeah, Venom, Carnage, they were talking about, and the Sinister Six. Right. So, you know, they mentioned a couple of ideas already, so I mean, this could just be them sending out the balloon, not necessarily a lead one, for a change. But, you know, I think people purposely let things leak often enough that I could put this under that category. Maybe they give some people something to feed on, and they get the reaction, and if it's mostly negative, they just move along and, you know, they go with something else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Well, it's like I said, I'm not exactly sure how I feel about this. It could be a good movie. I don't know. But it just seems like a really kind of cynical, weird way to keep this contract alive.
Yeah, and that's, I guess that's one thing, is that even if they give it back to Marvel, like, I know Marvel's done a good job with their movies, but they are left in a really shoddy spot at this point, because it has been rebooted already so recently.
Oh.
Like, honestly, like, you've really got to come up with something to get people reinvested in it. So, I mean, giving it up at its nadir, one might say, is not the worst thing either.
I think it would be fine if they brought him in to the next Avengers movie, say, maybe, towards throw him in the mix a little bit.
Oh, yeah, if they did that, they could get things moving pretty well, I think.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Again, Marvel, if you want.
Well, they need to get the rights, though. I mean, Sony coughs it up.
Look, yeah, forget you, Sony. Marvel. We're talking to Sony.
If Sony's still going with it.
Yeah, we're going to do this
Spider Whisperer.
What was it called? Arachnophobia 2, Spider-Man, colon. The Desolation of Shiloh.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to make it happen for you. It's going to be awesome. But on that note of awesomeness, I believe we've come to the end of our time together, dear listener.
Yes, we have. And we have one thing to thank, and that is Bell's Brewing. Ken was nice enough to pick up some Winter White Ale. We did have a couple of snowflakes today.
Yes.
Nothing that really stuck, nothing that really amounted to anything other than seeing it out the window.
Well, yes, I actually saw it as I was walking outside, so it was a firm reminder for me of winter is coming, as the Stark words remind us. yeah, it was cold. So it was a nice evening for the Bell's Winter Ale, was that what we...
Winter White Ale.
Winter White Ale, yeah.
And it's kind of nice because it's one of the few winter beers that is not spicy, as in nutmeg, right. Clove, cinnamon.
It's like a lighter beer.
Yes, it is more like a winterized summer beer, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, and it's refreshing. I quite enjoyed it. My first time trying it, I quite liked it. Four thumbs up over here.
Four thumbs up for Bell's out of Kalamazoo, Michigan, I believe. So
Semi-local.
Yep, semi-local.
A little bit out of the OPA range, but you know what? We're going to go with it.
Oh, well, and we are out of range for a podcast, yes, Ken.
We're out of temporal range now.
So, grandkids, you have a good night, and we will get at you next week.
Later.